Continuing. The transportation group unloaded two corpses. On their chests, the letters Z and S. Zersection, marked with a special chalk, indicated that they were to be dissected. The chief of Barracks 12 assigned an intelligent prisoner to assist me. Together we placed one of the bodies on the dissection table. I noticed a thick black line across his neck. Either he had hanged himself or been hanged. Taking a quick look at the second body, I saw that death had here been caused by electrocution. That much could be deduced from the small superficial skin burns and the yellowish-red coloration around them. I wondered whether he had thrown himself against the high-tension wires or whether he'd been pushed. Both were common in the cat set. The formalities were the same, whether it was a case of suicide or murder. In the evening, at roll call, the names of the deceased would be scratched from the muster list and their bodies loaded onto hearses, quote unquote, for transportation to the camp morgue. There another truck would pick them up at the rate of 40 to 50 a day and bear them to the crematorium. The two bodies Dr. Mengele had sent me were the first I'd been given to examine. The day before, he'd warned me to work on them carefully and do a good job. I planned to carry out his orders to the best of my ability. A car pulled up. In the barracks, the command, "Attention," rang out. Dr. Mengele and two senior SS officers had just arrived. They listened as the barracks leader and doctor made their reports, then headed straight for the dissecting room, followed by the F-camp prisoner doctors. They arranged themselves in a circle around the room, as though this were a pathology class in some important medical center, and the case at hand a particularly interesting one. I suddenly realized that I was about to take an examination, and that this was the jury before me, a highly important and dangerous jury. I also knew that my fellow prisoner doctors were keeping their fingers crossed for me. No one present knew that I had spent 3 years at the Borislav Institute of Forensic Medicine, where I had had a chance to study every possible form of suicide under the supervision of Professor Strassmann. I realized that as prisoner doctor A8450, I had better remember now all that Dr. Miklos Niesley had formerly known. I began the dissection. I proceeded to open first the skull, then the thorax, and finally the abdominal cavity. I extracted all the organs, noted everything that was abnormal, and replied without hesitation to all the numerous questions they fired at me. Their faces showed that their curiosity had been satisfied, and from their approving nods and glances, I surmised that I had passed the examination. After the second dissection, Dr. Mengele ordered me to prepare the statement of my findings. Someone would stop by to pick it up on the following day. After the SS doctors had left, I conversed a while with my fellow prisoners. On the following day, three more bodies arrived for dissection. The same public appeared, but this time the atmosphere was less tense, for they knew me and had seen my work. Those present took a more lively interest, made a number of astute and provocative comments, and on certain points the discussion grew quite animated. After the departure of the SS doctors, several French and Greek doctors paid me a call and asked if I would instruct them in the technique of lumbar punctures. They also requested me to grant them authorization to try the operation on some of the bodies given me, a request I readily granted. I was deeply moved to find that even inside the barbed wire fences, they continued to manifest such an interest in their profession. They attempted the puncture and after 6 or 7 tries, at last succeeded, then withdrew, quite pleased with their afternoon's work. And I'm interjecting, our capacity, once stripped of our earth-connected self-definitions, to accept insanity is almost boundless, which is why it's so critically important that we regain our leadership capacities and therefore become the ones who determine the conditions for our own lives. Until we put ourselves in charge of ourselves, the fantasy of an elite to install a constructed perfect reality, so-called, quote-unquote, will lurk in germinis or insubstantialis or in manifestus around us.